Hale Varsity Magazine presents the Hale Varsity Radio Show, the authority on all things Huskers. Spanning across the state, no one else talks Huskers like Hale Varsity.
Day by day, day by day, we get better, 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 better. We get beat, 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 beat.
Hale Varsity Radio Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt and former Blackshirt Jay Moore.
Great to have you in on a Tuesday. Hale Varsity Radio, Hale Varsity Magazine, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, TJ Henney, co-hosting, producing, engineering, doing it all. Hope you're doing okay. I am much better. I promise you that. Wow. Thanks so much to TJ Henney and Jay Moore. Love both those guys for helping me out. What a night in sports last night. We'll spend a little time talking Major League Baseball. It is into Indiana week. We need the Indiana Jones theme song or something. It's going to be an adventure. That's why. Yeah. I don't know if we're fighting Nazis or ghosts or what, but
trying to run away from a Rolling Stone.
Right. The giant spiders, the fear of snakes. What else? The crystal skull.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah, the aliens
one. And then the cup of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, we just listed out, really. I wasn't a Temple of Doom guy. So we listed 2.5 good movies out of the 4.
Mm-hmm.
As long as Harrison's around.
Yeah.
Pretty fired up about Indiana. Going to be a good ball game on Saturday. And we'll dive into that. Mitch Sherman, ESPN.com. 15 minutes away. Kevin Suits, 10-11 Sports. We'll have to get his thoughts on flag football and Nebraska football. And I know Suits went to University of Illinois. I assume he's a Cub guy, but I need to confirm that. That's the other question I have. Have you hugged a Cub fan today? Because there's a million of you, and it's okay to come out of the woodwork.
I used to be one.
Grandma Schmidt had a Sammy Sosa bobblehead doll. She was 94 years old when she passed, and in her home, she had a Sammy Sosa bobblehead doll. So she's a Cub fan.
Yeah, he was one of the reasons why I used to like him.
I said, yeah, yeah.
Because the lips to the heart, baby.
I just liked listening to Mark Grace wonder how Sammy could be a 30-30 guy with that medallion around his neck when he came to the north side. We know now how.
Yeah.
Sammy was strong. So, listen, there's a lot of love in my heart for the Cubs.
Mm-hmm.
I can't call myself a fan because that would be fake and bandwagonish. But, man, there's a lot of love. I spent years watching those guys and enjoying them. And maybe this isn't the year. We'll get into if this thing goes the distance or if Chicago closes it out tonight. Mitch Sherman, Kevin Suits this hour. Rick Pizzo's on BTN right now. As soon as he's done, he's with us at 5:06. And then Luke McNitt, Husker fullback out of Kearney. Our conversation. So what happened to me yesterday, I will enlighten you for 2 seconds. I have a history of kidney stones. Had surgery on them a year ago, I think to the day, maybe even.
Wow.
Yeah, wow's right. Okay. So I'm at the press conference and do-do-do-do-do, you know, sitting there typing away, taking notes, and get a couple interviews knocked out. But I felt weird, like yesterday morning when I woke up. I know that feeling. And if you had kidney stones, you've seen the Seinfeld episode where you hear Kramer screaming.
Yeah.
I don't think I've passed it. Well, you'd know if you passed it. Well, not necessarily. Just know that when you go potty, things are supposed to look a certain way. If you've had a lot of coffee, it's a little darker. No way I've had that much coffee. So I was
okay.
Okay.
I got visual.
That's what we do. So long and short of it, I'm screaming internally. I don't feel well. Go to the urologist. Yeah, we don't see anything on the x-ray, but here's some happy pills. And I went home and took a couple and tapped out. So I'm back today, and I appreciate you guys handling it. I feel better. I have been just chugging water.
Oh, yeah.
There's only so much water you can do. I've switched to some sort of antioxidant thing. But we'll get into some sports. And how about your Big Red? How about your Huskers? How about your Huskers being in the top 10, 10th and 9th respectively? And that's where I want to start. Sometimes as a kid, you were drug shopping with your mom. Maybe you went to the sporting goods store with dad. It was time for a new mouthpiece and a jock. And if you go with dad, you get in and you get out. And the customer service person rolls up to you. Hey, can I help you find something? And the answer is, no, I'm good. I know what I want. Or if you're politely telling them to screw off, I'm browsing. Thank you. Here's what you have. Is Nebraska browsing, or do they know what they want with this top 10? Because the setup is here. This is a giant setup game for both teams, because you're both trending well. I watched a lot of that Indiana-Ohio State game. They're not bad. They're an awful special teams coverage play away from being tied with Ohio State at half. They're an awful play call on 4th and 1 inside their own red zone, inside the 5. They got stuffed from tying the game deep into the second half. And they're a strip sack away in the second half as well. There's 3 scoring opportunities, 2 for them, 1 against them, that if you're just a little bit tighter, a little bit better of a football team, that thing's going the distance. Ohio State probably still wins, but it's 35-31 instead of 38-17. Indiana's been building for this moment for 6 years with Kevin Wilson. You know how good a coordinator he was, and Bob Stoops has never made, till recently, changes at coordinator. He's always had to find the next awesome coordinator, and he's got Lincoln Riley down there who's been pretty good. Mm-hmm. But let's go through Stoops' coordinators. Mangino, Leach, Wilson. I mean, Lincoln Riley, and whoever the hell was before that, it was his quarterback. The lefty, forgetting his name, but they won the championship for him. It'll pop up. Anywho, Indiana's been building for this, and they've been close. Okay, in 2014, they're right there, almost upsetting a top 10 Ohio State team. In 2015, they're double overtime, mm-hmm. Michigan. They're a close loss at home to Ohio State. They push number 10 Iowa at the time, 8-point. They have been building for this moment for 6 years. And Kevin Wilson was Mr. Hot Seat a couple of years ago, got him to a bowl game this last year. They've been very, very potent on offense and his style and his spread. And they've had good running backs, and they're just kind of rebuilding on offense compared to where they have been with Nate Saufeld and the kid running for Chicago now. So they're a little bit a step behind from where they've been offensively. Defensively, they're every inch as good of a top 50 defense. That's the difference. What's been going on, they've been building offensively to take down a top 10 team, and they have finally found the right coordinator to match and find a defense that can be good, can be physical, can be fast, can tackle, and it can complement the offense. And a lot of times when you have an offense like this where it's spread it around, throw the football, doesn't help your defense out. They're not physical. They're not tough. They're more of a finesse defense because you're going against what type of offense every day in practice. What are you being molded into? And right now you've got two really good units. You got a really good defense that's not soft if you're Indiana. You got an offense that's getting better but still wants to run the football, and they're not as good as they were a year ago, but they're getting better. Indiana's been building for this thing for 6 years. They get a top 10 team coming in Nebraska. And by the way, if you're Nebraska, how long have you been waiting to get back in the top 10? Let's say it together. Post Michigan State 2011. Fitzy and company roll in. You lose mm-hmm. by 3. Hello and goodbye. That's why I go back to it. Are you browsing, or do you know what you want when you're shopping? Depends on who you get drugged with. Mom or dad. We know what we want. mouthpiece and jock, get out. Mom, well, we're just browsing. Let's go try these pants on. You know, okay. So that's where we're at, and it's huge. And this would be enormous, enormous for Indiana because they already beat Sparty. They were down two touchdowns. They hung with Ohio State. This kind of validates the patience, the game plan, the trust that Indiana's AD and football direction. Still a lot of season left for Indiana.
Yeah.
But at this point in the year, talk about payoff. They'd be 5-2. The Wake Forest game was kind of a joke because they doubled 600 yards total offense, Wake Forest. And by the way, they threw five picks.
Mm-hmm.
So the Ohio State game should have been their first loss. Should have, I know. But if you're Nebraska, bro, you have wanted to get back here for a long time as a Nebraska fan, as a member of the Nebraska football team. You've worked for it. You've been through a bunch of crap. You're here. Don't apologize for being here, but prove you belong here. Prove you're not just browsing, because I believe this wholeheartedly. They don't win Saturday. They lose three of their next four. That's not a stretch. That's not rocket science. It could be a bad reality. You started out 5-0, get to 6-0, find your way to 7-0. Because if you don't win at Indiana, and it's not going to be an easy game, 3-point spread.
Yeah.
This thing's going to the fourth quarter, and you got to make a play, either offense, defensively, or special teams, if you're Nebraska. And Tommy Armstrong's got to be great. If you're Nebraska, win this thing, and then let the chips fall against a really good, proven Wisconsin team and Ohio State. Okay? Don't limp in there to Madtown or Columbus with a loss already, because there's a high probability you go back-to-back losses because of how it's stacked. You're off to a good start. Live up to the hype.
Yeah, so you mentioned it's his sixth season already for Ken Wilson in Indiana.
Yep.
Which is a little surprising. I would figure maybe fourth, maybe fifth, but you know, Indiana football's never been something where known for basketball.
They have found a guy in Wilson that is a difference maker. He's that good offensively.
Oh, yeah.
But listen, I mean, look at his numbers. 1-11, 4-8, 5-7, 4-8, finally 6-7, and they get a bowl appearance last year. And they got beat. They could have been a 7-6 team, but they, again, lost in overtime to Duke 44-41. Now, a year ago, I told you who they pushed the limit.
Yeah.
They wore Michigan out.
Mm-hmm.
They wore Ohio State out. They wore out Michigan State two of the last 4 years. But they lose to Rutgers 55-52. I mean,
yeah.
Who are you going to be? Okay.
In Michigan, just 78-0 Rutgers.
Okay. This is last year's Rutgers, and they had Leonte Carew.
Yeah.
Okay.
Still.
We're just talking about Indiana. So this is a setup game. It feels to me like you're rolling into a, sticking with the Indiana Jones theme, a den of snakes, a la Nebraska heading to Missouri in 97. A team that's kind of hot, that's played well. I know that Missouri team in 97 with the Davison catch was coming off like wins over Kansas State and wins over Colorado. So they were hot. They were coming off a loss. I kind of count this performance against Ohio State as, you know, a good enough category. Wasn't a win, but it sure as hell better than you've done on the road there. So you're getting a team that's hot, that believes it, that's trending upward. And you got to love this. If you're a Nebraska fan, it'll test your team. How good is Nebraska? Go show it, because you don't have to apologize for anything. Go show it. Go run the football. Do what you've done and put together that four-quarter ball game. You've seen glimpses in Nebraska being top 10 good. Put it together for four quarters.
Yeah, and I'm interested to see the defense once again going against a legit offense. And I believe Oregon at the time was still kind of a legit offense.
We'll get into that a little bit later, both of these teams, but Oregon and Indiana.
But you know Indiana is going to score, and found this stat here on ESPN.com. You helped out me with the pronunciation. Richard Legault, the quarterback.
Lego.
He's not Sunfeld, but he has faced the least amount of blitzes in the big out of any Big Ten quarterback. And he's only completed 11 of 23.
Yeah, you gotta
I'm interested
him
to
up.
See what Banker will do this Saturday, if we will indeed blitz him a lot or not blitz him a whole lot, which he hasn't faced a whole lot this season.
Here's the thing. They were ultra, ultra conservative against Ohio State. I mean, they didn't really start chucking the ball around, and it was like a slip screen and a wheel route that got him into the end zone right before half. they were handing off, and I know they're 60-40 run versus pass, which is fine, but they were afraid to throw the football around. They were being so cautious, and a couple of times that they were ultra cautious, and then they did throw the ball. That's where they got bit. That's where they got strip sacked or there was a turnover. Mm.
But they also have a legit running back in Devine Reading.
Oh, Devine's want to get him the great ball too. No, I think he's incredible. No, you got to run the football with him. But they were afraid to be Indiana, it felt like, in that first half. They wanted to keep it close, shorten the game, and it worked. I mean, it was within distance to grasp until it wasn't. I mean, one turnover, one special teams play, the accumulation did you in. I wonder if they're going to be as conservative against Nebraska. Because if I'm Indiana, and the one thing that you're not sure about Nebraska football-wise right now defensively is the run defense, okay, because they're giving up 4-8, something like that. Can you pound Redding all game long? If you're Nebraska, you're like, not running on us. Come in with that mindset. They've worked on tackling galore during the bye week and beyond. And if you're Nebraska, we'll get into this next hour. The quarterback run game. You can't be scared to do it despite Tommy in that boot last week. Mitch Sherman's coming up on Hail Varsity Radio.
Want to be heard?
We know he's not. Let him finish.
Call 402-466-ESPN or text HAIL to 88474 with your message. Chat with us on Twitter at Schmidt_radio and JMore44 and TJ_Henning.
Who wants to have some fun?
Now it's back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Great to have you back. Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, TJ Henning. Bird back maybe tomorrow. Does that sound right?
Perhaps.
For sure Friday. Safe driving demands your full attention. One of every three traffic fatalities in Nebraska. Alcohol related. Many of those drivers involved buzzed while driving. Remember, you drink, you drive, you lose. A message from the Nebraska Office of Highway Safety. Your chance. We have a slew of Nuggets and Timberwolves tickets to give you for tomorrow. 7 o'clock PBA. So be listening for your chance at that. We won't make it too difficult. Let's talk some college football. And one of our favorites with ESPN, Mitch Sherman, at Mitch Sherman on Twitter. Mitch, have you hugged a Cub fan today?
I have. Well, you know, I have not. I had some virtual hugs with Cub fans last night as I was taunting them over the late inning events. I just texted out a picture of a big goat last night in the eighth inning when Connor Gillespie hit that ball over Zobrist's head. But I was a bad baseball fan last night and went to bed after the bottom of the eighth, assuming that the Giants had that thing sewn up and wasn't expecting Chris Bryant to homer. So I'm kind of glad that San Francisco won it in the 12th. I'm really glad that San Francisco won it in the 12th or 13th, whatever it was, so I get to watch some more baseball tonight. And I'll be there to toast the Cubs if they move on to the NLCS and wait for them to lose in that round.
So what's we didn't have enough time to get into this last week. What is behind the Cubs taunting? We'll get into football, I promise, but why? And I'm not – look, they broke my heart enough. I have divorced myself from the Cubs, so there you go.
I don't like the Cubs. I don't like the Cubs, to give you a little bit of background.
No, no, I know. I know you hate them. Yeah, I'm asking why you hate them.
You're aware of that, but not everyone else is. I think the reason that I don't like the Cubs is that they have no excuse to be bad. And for all of these years that my team was bad, and we're going post-1985, the Cubs were equally bad, made the playoffs a couple of times, and had their hearts ripped out, as I watched on happily. But they were always viewed as the lovable losers, and the Royals were a punchline over that same period of time. And that bothered me, and also the fact that really the Cubs shouldn't have been bad because they had the resources in the big market, where the Royals had a reason to be bad, yet were still a punchline while the Cubs were lovable losers. And not to mention that a lot of friends of mine are Cubs fans, and it's fun to give them a hard time as the Cubs continue to wait for their first World Series in more than a century.
There you go. Mitch Sherman breaking hearts on a Tuesday. Mitch, let's talk Nebraska and Indiana. And this is Indiana and Kevin Wilson have been building for this moment for 6 years. They get a top 10 in. It's not Ohio State. It's not Michigan. It's not Michigan State. It's Nebraska. Nebraska has been trying to get into this party since 2011. How do you feel about Saturday?
I think it's pretty dangerous, and I'm sure you've broken down
the why. Yeah, it is.
You know, I remember sitting with Kevin Wilson in his office in the summer of 2011, and he'd been on the job for I think a year at that time. And Indiana had some nice things going in their facilities, but it felt very much like sitting in the office with the Nebraska basketball coach. And you had that feeling like, you know, you guys should be able to do it here. You've got support. You've got resources. You've got the conference behind you. Yet it just doesn't seem like it's ever going to work out. And as Indiana has plugged along and you know, made it back to a bowl a couple of years ago for the first time and almost, I think it was the second time, actually, in almost 20 years, there was one time in the 2007-2008 range when the Hoosiers made it to a bowl, and then they got to another bowl a couple years ago. It you know, you always had the feeling, or I've always had the feeling, that that's kind of where Indiana tops out. And you know, it's again like Nebraska basketball, like you make the NCAA tournament, and then of course they've never gone any further. And maybe this is the year where Indiana gets over the hump. I don't know. I mean, the last couple of weeks have been promising. And this is the kind of thing for the Hoosiers that maybe you would expect to happen in a situation like this, where they've had Nate Sudfeld in the program for a number of years, and he's been a great quarterback. And now they've moved on, and they can focus on having a decent defense, which they seem to have this year, and spread things out on the offensive side. There's no Jordan Howard. You know, some of the stars are gone to the NFL. There's no Tevin Coleman. They just seem to be pretty balanced and just a pretty solid team. So that work that Kevin Wilson talked about when we sat there 5 years ago, you know, I expected he wouldn't get the opportunity to make it this far if they didn't win bigger than they have, but their administration has been patient, and this looks like a year where Indiana can take it to the next level. And it's interesting to watch. We'll see, if Saturday is a big step in the elevation of that program.
Well, let's flip it around. The elevation of the Nebraska program, you see the line on this thing. You know how well Indiana's playing. Nebraska's beat up. They're heading back on the road. Is this a game Nebraska should win?
I think so, yeah. I still think that Indiana's program is in a place where Nebraska, and I'm discounting the whole top 10 thing, because the ranking for Nebraska is not important at this point. I don't know that Nebraska has proven it's one of the 10 best teams in the country. I think Nebraska's proven it's a good team, and Nebraska's proven that it has put aside and some of its problems that have plagued this program for the last few years. They're doing well in the fourth quarter. They're doing well in the turnover category. So no knock on Nebraska, but based on the competition that it has beaten, I'm not sure that I'm ready to say I'm convinced it's a top 10 team. So let's put that aside and just look at the product and the teams that are as they match against each other. And I think, yeah, Nebraska has enough talent that it should be considered the better team. I understand why the line is what it is, what is essentially even, or at least I know it started that way, because of all the intangibles, because this is new ground for these Nebraska players to have these kind of expectations on them, because there's questions about Tommy Armstrong's wheels, because Indiana is gaining momentum after a win over Michigan State in a more competitive than expected game at Ohio State. So all the things seem to be lining up for this one to be, upset alert. And if it's even upset alert, but for the home team to give the top 10 team a run for their money. And I think that'll happen. I think this is going to be a four quarter game.
Mitch, are you more worried about the offense going into this game because of the injuries or the defense because of Indiana's offense?
Well, if Tommy is not able to operate at his normal rate, then I'm more worried about the offense. I think that's an Achilles heel of this Nebraska offense, is that it has gotten to be pretty dependent on him. And that's a good thing and a bad thing. And it's good when he's playing well, because you can look to him and he can guide you out of trouble, and he's done that at times this year. But if he's banged up, or if he's not playing well at a key moment, then I don't know where you turn. Maybe Terrell Newby can take on some of the load. He certainly has had a bit of a coming out party in the last few weeks. You don't have that difference maker at tight end this week. You don't have your best receiver. Maybe you don't have another one of your better receivers. So to me, those injuries on offense are a bigger concern than anything else going into this game. Now, if Tommy's healthy, then maybe I'd look at the other side, but we're not certain, how close to 100% he is.
Mitch Sherman, ESPN.com, college football writer and analyst, at Mitch Sherman on Twitter. Mitch, we need your 4+1 if we're doing the Mitch playoff power rankings right now.
Yeah, nothing changes from last week. I might consider moving Michigan up a spot, but after the hurting that it put on Rutgers. I don't know what the right word was to say there. There are a lot of things I could say that couldn't be said on your show, but
hurting works.
Yeah, so Ohio State, Alabama, I'll move Michigan ahead of Clemson, even though Clemson's been very impressive the last 2 weeks. You get in, Clemson's still in the playoff right now at number four, and the +1 is Washington this week over Texas A&M, over Louisville. So those would be the teams knocking on the door.
About 30 seconds, a little longer than that, but what's your take on Oregon? Is it a confidence issue, or are they just not good?
Well, I think it's both. They're better than 70-21 at home last week against Washington. I think Washington's good. Chris Peterson doing a great has done an amazing turnaround job there. But when Oregon came to Nebraska in week three, it was a different team, I would say, than what is playing right now, than the team that has shown up the last couple of weeks. So, and Nebraska played a role in that. I think Nebraska started to knock that confidence down, and then it's gone downhill fast since then, and now it's really in a bad place. So I don't think it would be a 3-point game if the Ducks came back and played in Lincoln right now, and I don't totally discount that win as being a good win. Still a good win, still a win over a team that was ranked at the time. And sometimes this kind of stuff happens where teams just go on a slide, and they have.
Mitch, what do you got coming up here on ESPN? About 15 seconds.
All kinds of stuff. Catching up with Bill Snyder this week to talk about his 77th birthday, so that's going to be fun. I am headed to Lubbock for the first time since 2008 this weekend to check out the undefeated West Virginia Mountaineers play against Patrick Mahomes and Texas Tech. So looking forward to that. And it's an early game, so sitting back on Saturday afternoon watching Nebraska, Indiana, and the rest of college football. Got some Big 12 expansion stuff coming out early next week too, as the league presidents are set to vote on what they will do moving forward Monday. Good.
That'll be awesome. Mitch Sherman, ESPN.com, @ Mitch Sherman on Twitter. And if you're a Cub fan, he'll hug you, maybe. Mitch, take care, my friend. Thanks for a few minutes. Great to catch up.
Yep, I'll try to keep the Cubs hate off of Twitter and keep it in private. So
whatever you want to do, man. It's good. Take care.
I might not be able to help myself. So. All right, have a good one.
He's so mild-mannered and just a great dude, but he unleashes the fury
the
on Cubs fan.
Welcome back to the Hail Varsity Radio Show. Here's Chris and Jay.
Chris Schmidt, TJ Heading today. Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Rick Pizzo, as soon as he's done with the BTN in 25 minutes. Luke McNitt, Husker fullback. Your chance at T-Wolves, Nuggets tickets, in 10 minutes. Welcome in 10-11 Sports, Kevin Suits and flag football coach extraordinaire. Suitsy, I got to admit, I was home in the Lazy Boy suffering from kidney stone issues yesterday, so I did not get the Juniors game. They were shut out. They were annihilated. They took on what's the equivalent of the 95 Huskers, as Carson tells me, when it comes to fifth grade flag football. So the winning streak or spurt is no more for the Cavett Jets. Who do you guys face tonight?
We've got the Broncos tonight. You know, we're not fifth grade level, but Schmitty, I don't know which level you're watching. It doesn't matter it, but some of these teams, from what I've seen, holy smokes.
Right.
I talked to a dad of a third grader just this morning. Mm-hmm. His son played last night. He said the team that they faced, motion almost every single play. They're shifting formation. Like, are you kidding me? We're trying to go hand off left, hand off right.
No, and I tell you what, and they always just play fast, right? I mean, how many times have you heard that? Just play fast.
That's our goal for tonight. Well, I shouldn't have our goal for that. That's our goal every game.
Right.
Play fast. And
play
the thing
fast
that we worked on this week is getting the handoff at full speed.
Hmm.
And, you know, you watch a football game at any level, and you're like, wow, it's something you take for granted. But when you're working with kids that are new to the game, that's something that, you know, a lot of times they just want to get the ball and then accelerate. But no, tonight, that's the big challenge from Coach Kevin, is get that handoff, open up, give him a good pocket, and let's get going.
How about the trick play count? Did you fire one up after we talked last week? And if so, whose play did you use?
Oh, well, last week was unfortunate because I was telling you how excited we were for the game.
Get the
and
rain.
I've been watching the forecast. That storm rolled in right at 6 o'clock.
Did you blame Shimmick?
Yeah, well, we can blame not just Shimmick, but every of the weather guys over there, because you know that it's all their fault. But no, anyway, we were set to play, and I was excited, and it was Caleb Lightborn's play. So we've had an extra week of working on what Caleb drew up for us, and hopefully we run it with some success tonight.
What happens with Nebraska-Indiana? How dangerous is this game?
It's a scary game. I think partly because of the injury situation for Nebraska, that this team might have a much different look.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to say it's going to have a different edge, but I think offensively, when you're, you know, Brandon Riley's a fantastic wide receiver, but he's playing, yes, he's going to be running routes and catching a football, but he's running in the slot now. And that's going to be much different in terms of Tommy and his progressions. And hopefully Tommy Armstrong's back at full speed. He even said yesterday during the press conference, had there been a game this past weekend, he wouldn't have played. So I do think that there is cause for concern, and I don't think it's overblown. I think there are a lot of people that you know, they're not so sure that Nebraska gets out of Bloomington with a win. I think that they do, but not by much. And another element to this is when the line first opened up, I believe it was favoring Nebraska by 8 or 9 points.
Mm-hmm.
It's come down, and the last I looked, it was about 6. So there must be some piece of information out there, or more as the odds makers analyze the matchup. It tends to favor not as much of a gap between the two teams that maybe initially thought.
Well, line's at 3.5.
Oh, my goodness. Are you kidding?
Yeah, it's down to 3.5. Nebraska's favored. So, yeah, I mean, it's going to be one of those. Nebraska may get out of there by a touchdown or so. You get 3 points for being at home. You do the math there, and that's just take care of the. I mean, the opportunity for Nebraska, they go win this. I know they're in the top 10, but they go win this and then come home to Purdue and then start stacking some four-quarter performances. Not fourth-quarter performances, but four-quarter performances. Get better at tackling, shore up the run defense. I like Indiana. I think they're good, but their offense doesn't blow me away. If they're playing last year's offense, this thing's going to be a nightmare. Okay, but those guys are in the league, though, so it's all good. You got a chance to really take it to their offense, don't you, if you're the black shirts?
Yeah, I could not agree more. I mean, some of those stars. Look, at Indiana's put some guys in the NFL in recent years, and that's kind of,
yeah.
You know, not Indiana over the past 2 decades, but they have. And, you know, they had some big players. Not saying that this year's team doesn't, but they're just not as big of players, if that makes sense.
Sure.
But still, they've got a scheme and a system, and Kevin Wilson clearly I like the word Mike Riley used yesterday to describe Indiana's offense. It's creative.
Yes.
And he's found some wrinkles that work, especially playing against Big Ten defenses. And he's able to generate some success just based on his knowledge of the game and just being the offensive mind that he is. I think there's a bigger concern for Nebraska's offense going up against Indiana's defense. That's an improved group. And you just hope that despite some of the guys that are going to be out, Stephen Carter, Jordan Westerkamp, Devina Zigbo, that they're able to manufacture the points that they're used to. And I don't want to downgrade Nebraska's 5-0 record, because anytime you win in college football, you know, we see upsets every single week. But the more as the season goes on, the less sexy the 5-0 looks. And I say that because you look at Oregon. Oregon's under 500 right now. I think almost every one of the teams that Nebraska's played in one has a losing record at the moment. So not saying they're not deserving of the 5-0, but it's hard to get as good of a gauge of Nebraska than you initially thought at this point of the season.
Is this year, is she a 10 at 2 or a 2 at 10? That's kind of what you're asking yourself going into Indiana.
Very true. That is very true. We will know. We'll have this discussion at the end of this month, and we will know. But right now, as much as people want to be sold on Nebraska, give it a couple more weeks, and that's why I think this game is so very important, because I think that we can, based on what Indiana's put out there so far, they played some big opponents.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Ohio State game, they played well. Ohio State is just elite, and I think you get a better gauge of Nebraska overall. Win, lose, or draw, you'll have a better understanding of this team after Saturday.
Okay, I have 60 seconds. Are you a Cub fan?
Lifelong.
Okay, I thought so. You being from there.
Yes.
Are you comfortable tonight, or are you freaking out tonight?
I'm trying not to think about tonight. I'm still a little bit peeved over last night. You know, I tried to stay up and watch the whole thing. I will be honest, I nodded off in extra innings, and I woke up to the cheers of the Giants, and that's kind of lingered with me. But tonight is a nervous night. If it goes five, even though it's back in Chicago, I still don't. That's just a spot I don't want to be in. I know it's just the DS, and you want to get them to the National League Championship Series, but I'm concerned about that. That's why I can't go there, because it's going to affect my coaching tonight. We got to separate these things.
I know, but as a Cub fan, brother, you should just be used to worst case doomsday, shouldn't you?
Yeah, that's kind of how I operated throughout the regular season. I said once the playoffs hit, then my anxiousness, and yes, this team has let me down so many times over the course of my life. And that's why I tried not to buy into the 100-plus wins this year. Yeah, they're good, tempered excitement with the team, but now it's all full in, because, it's in front of your face. The goal is within reach, and so I hope that they can win it tonight and move on to the next round.
Well, we want Kevin Suits' flag football team to get a W tonight. We'll talk next week about your Cubs. Kevin, have a good weekend. Enjoy Bloomington. Thanks for your time today, bud. Great to run you down.
All right. Thank you so much, Mitty.
Take care, brother. Kevin Suits, 10-11 Sports. We catch up with Suitsy on Tuesdays at 4:40. We talk a little flag football, then a little therapy there, as you can hear. Another Cub fan. Your chance at NBA tickets coming up.
Former Blackshirt Jay Moore.
That thing is big, Jay. That thing looks hurt, Jay. Oh, man, who backed up Jay? Jay, we could get some big money for that.
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Jay Bird will be back later this week. Thanks to Kevin Suits and Mitch Sherman, Rick Pizzo. 10 minutes away, and then Husker fullback Luke McNitt. Brad Carney right there. Get his thoughts on Nebraska, Indiana. Your chance coming up for $1,000, the $125,000 text touchdown. Five times a day, your chance at a G, 9 and 11 with Greg Ethan Smith, 3 during Russillo, 5 o'clock with us, and then 7 o'clock, got to text the unique word when you hear it for your chance at $1,000. Now, that unique word will be revealed right before 5. It's lowercase to hook you up a little bit. And you're going to text 77000. 77,000. Right? I got enough zeros in there?
I believe so.
Okay. Speaking of zeros, it is going to cost you that zero for tickets to the T-Wolves and the Nuggets. Didn't go last year to see Chicago. that you can go this year. Tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, PBA. It's the NBA. I was going to get off my butt here and do a Marv Albert sounder or something like that. I mean, it never gets old hearing Marv go, yes.
Yeah.
And it counts. It got a little creepy when they did Celebrity Deathmatch with Marv and his biting incident years ago. But the yes and it counts still works. Mm-hmm. So it's the make, the self-made yes and it counts. What callers do you want to do, TJ? You're a T-Wolves guy.
Yeah.
They're somewhat. Coming to town because of you.
I don't know about that.
I think they polled you and said, TJ, who do you want to come to PBA? And you said, oh, give me the Wolves.
Yeah, the Nuggets, yeah. Why not?
Why not?
Two area teams.
Yeah, so what callers? We have how many tickets?
We've got six pair to give away. So right now, let's do callers 5 and 6.
Callers 5 and 6. You want to go see the Wolves and Nuggets at PBA? Be caller 5, be caller 6. Right now to Hail Varsity at ESPN, 466-3776. 466-3776 or 800-825-5865. You say caller 5 and 6. He's nodding. Caller 5, caller 6 now. Two tickets for you to the NBA tomorrow night at Pinnacle Bank Arena. Thanks to the folks at PBA. You're awesome. And go see some NBA. The Wolves, I mean, they got a ton of rookies of the year. They got some of the all NCAA tournament team folks that you've watched the last 3 years, because TJ's team's been lottery picking quite a bit. It's all right. They're building. Then there's the Nuggets. My brother loved the Nuggets as a kid. And the reason, I think he fell in love with when Mutombo knocked off the fighting Aaron Babcocks, the Seattle Supersonics. A 8-seed, 1-seed upset. Sorry about that one. But Mutombo there was screaming at the basketball underneath the basket in Key Arena. I think this was 94, maybe before that. I don't know. But, yeah, my brother liked the Nuggets, crazily enough. Caller 5 and 6, did you say? Yes. He's like, just let me answer the phones. Caller 5, caller 6 now. NBA tickets yours. One pair. Caller 5, caller 6, 466-3776 or 800-825-5865. Big Ten Buffet is next. Rick Pizzo on the way. Husker fullback Luke McNitt will join us. We'll talk some Huskers. We'll talk some Cubbies. Hour 2 of Hail Varsity next.
Hail Varsity Magazine presents the Hail Varsity Radio Show, the authority on all things Huskers. Spanning across the state, no one else talks Huskers like Hail Varsity.
Hey, Bob Day! Hey, Bob Day! We get better, blessed!
We get better, blessed!
We get big, big!
We get big, big!
Boom, big, big!
Boom, big, big!
Hail Varsity Radio Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmitz and former Blackshirt Jay Moore.
Jay back later in the week. TJ Heading, Chris Schmidt, Hour 2, Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Husker fullback Luke McNitt in 30 minutes. Let's head to the offices of BTN. It's Big Ten Buffet time. It's Mr. Rick Pizzo at BTN. Rick Pizzo on Twitter just wrapped up BTN Live. Mr. Rick, how we doing?
Doing fantastic. A BTN Live that included one of your good friends who also covers the Huskers. And we talked a lot about that Nebraska-Indiana game. I know Ohio State-Wisconsin, Chris, understandably, is getting most of the pub. I think folks are kind of forgetting that Nebraska's unbeaten, ranked top 10 in the country, and having a legitimate shot right now at the college football playoff.
They're in the conversation, Rick, and it's been a long time since that's been true. I mean, Nebraska's found their way into high rankings before, specifically when they first joined the Big Ten, but they didn't stay there. And you have monumental tasks ahead. Purdue, they just won, which kind of shocked me last weekend. But then you have Wisconsin, you have Ohio State. Those are the road trips. But before that, how about Kevin Wilson and this Indiana team? I love that Indiana has stuck with him. We had a chance to see him when he was at Oklahoma, how good he was as OC for Stoops. And they've been patient with him in Bloomington. Doesn't have quite the offense this year that he did last year, but man, he's found a defensive coordinator, Coach Allen. I mean, they're for real, and It's going to be a tough ball game here, Rick. Let's start with Nebraska, Indiana. And what do you think the key is for Nebraska on Saturday?
I think the key for Nebraska is twofold. On offense, it is to be able to gash Indiana's defense the way that Ohio State did, and that is with the quarterback run game. We've seen how much more dynamic this Nebraska offense has become in year two of the Riley Langsdorf era because they are willing and able to use Tommy Armstrong's dual threat capability much more so than they did last year. And JT Barrett ran the ball 26 times for well over 100 yards, nearly a buck and a half, I believe, against that Indiana defense. That's where they are vulnerable. I'm not suggesting that Tommy Armstrong run the football 26 times. Ohio State didn't want Barrett to run 26 times, and certainly a lot of those were scrambles, not designed runs. But if you see a team able to exploit a team's defense with one specific aspect, and you have an athlete that can do what the previous team's athlete did, you have to try it. So offensively, for me, that's the key for Nebraska. And defensively, it is forcing Indiana to throw the football. And I know you almost scratch your head and say, what? Isn't that what they do best? But when Richard Lego tries to force the ball into tight windows, and that's what he does, he is very prone to the turnover. And I think if Nebraska is able to win the turnover battle, I think they could start to run away with this football game.
So if you just flip it around, how does Indiana pull the upset then?
You turned up, TJ?
No.
So, and take two. Rick,
there we go. Sorry.
There we go. Go ahead.
So just flip it around then. How does Indiana pull off the upset then?
Well, I think Indiana has to protect the football, number one. You absolutely positively have to make sure you don't give Nebraska short fields and you don't have your defense quick change, because that's one thing that Indiana does struggle with. In their loss to Wake, Richard Lego turned it over five times through the air. That quick change was not beneficial to that defense. Wake Forest scores 30-plus points, an offense that is not as explosive as that Nebraska defense. Defensively, they have to tackle better. And I know I heard the same thing from Nebraska's coaches this week, that they need to tackle better, and that was one of their biggest focuses during the bye week, was tackling. That's what Brandon Vogel told us. I think Indiana's the exact same thing. They did not tackle very well, especially against the run against Ohio State. They need to tackle well defensively and protect the football on offense.
Rick Pizzo, Big Ten Buffet, Hail Varsity Radio. We're getting caught up, and it's a busy weekend in the Big Ten. BTN Live just wrapped up, so we thank Rick Pizzo for giving us a few minutes here. Now, Rick, with Indiana, and I've not been there, is the atmosphere going to be better than past years because Indiana's hot right now? They beat Sparty. They played Ohio State well. Top 10, Nebraska comes rolling in. I know it's 2:30. I know it's a national game. Will the atmosphere be a difference maker, or will it be kind of sleepy? Will it live up to the hype that's coming in, or will it be, I don't know, kind of ho-hum? What do you expect Saturday?
I hope that it is much better than it typically is, because even the Indiana football faithful will tell you that it needs to be better, that it has never really provided the home team with that much of a home field advantage. And the way that Nebraska fans travel, there's going to be a ton of red in the stands. It's just, is it Nebraska red or is it that Indiana crimson? Because I got to tell you, when you saw the crowd at Northwestern, it was the biggest stadium that they had filled with people all year long, and it was 60%, maybe more than that, red. I mean, I think that Nebraska has a very good chance to send a ton of fans up there. I hope that the atmosphere is terrific. I think this Indiana team deserves it. I think the matchup overall deserves it. I think it deserves a little bit more attention than it's getting, kind of overshadowed by Ohio State, Wisconsin. But I certainly hope it is a great atmosphere for a college football game.
Rick, before we move on to Wisconsin, Ohio State, what's your gut tell you? Was the Ohio State Indiana game, did Indiana impress you? Was it kind of a ho-hum performance by Ohio State? Where do you sit with that when it comes to your reaction to that 38-17? It was close. Indiana
yep.
made mistakes. The thing could have been closer is what I'm saying. The other side of it is Ohio State didn't play that well either, though. So, I mean, where do you come out?
True. I think all those statements that you made are absolutely true, and Ohio State wanted to play better, especially in the pass game, but a lot of that goes to what Indiana did, and okay. There's no doubt they're a better team on the defensive side of the football. I just don't think that offensively they're as good as they've been, you know, without Nate Sudfeld. I mean, Lego is doing what he can, but they don't really have that quarterback that can take over a game the way that Nate Sudfeld did, and with Sudfeld, it allowed their running game to improve over the last couple of years more than I thought it would. So, you know, they're getting better defensively. I think they've taken a small step back offensively. And so I think Nebraska is the favorite to win this game. I think they should win this football game, but I would not be surprised at all to see this come down to the fourth quarter.
Rick, let's talk Wisconsin, Ohio State. The folks in Vegas say minus 10. The one Big Ten team that's messed with Ohio State has been Wisconsin, traditionally, historically, specifically at night, and they're going to Camp Randall. That place is so hard to win in at night, but Ohio State's loaded. What happens on Saturday night?
You know, I think so much of it, Chris, depends on which Alex Hornibrook, the young quarterback, shows up for Wisconsin. Is it the guy who went to East Lansing and under pressure made some really nice throws, got help from his defense, and led Wisconsin to an easy win over Michigan State? Now, clearly some of the shine has come off Michigan State, but still, Hornibrook looked solid in that game. Or is he the guy who, against Michigan, really looked a little bit rattled by the fact that Michigan could blitz and could send so many different looks at him? And that's what he's going to see with Ohio State. Now, the timing of the bye week maybe came pretty perfectly for Wisconsin, because they had a couple of weeks to get ready to look at this Ohio State defense, and Ohio State's defense is going to give you multiple looks. And what Ohio State can do is just what Michigan did. They can send a ton of guys at the blitz and send a ton of pressure because they're so comfortable with their back four. I don't think Michigan State was in a situation to do that, so they didn't see as many of those blitzes. Can Hornibrook learn? Can he be much better with all that pressure, much better than he was against Michigan? If he can, then he keeps Wisconsin in this game. The crowd helps. They have a chance to win it. If he can't, then Ohio State's defense will eat him up.
So you brought up Michigan State, and they just had another loss, three in a row. What's gone so wrong for them in East Lansing since that Notre Dame win?
You know what, I got to tell you, TJ, I never really bought in at the beginning of the year just because they lost so many playmakers on defense and offensively, and I hate to keep harping on Tyler O'Connor because he's a great kid. I think he's a very good game manager, and game manager is not necessarily a negative connotation, but he is not Connor Cook and he's not Kirk Cousins. He's not the quarterbacks that Ohio State has or that Michigan State has had that can win them games when all else fails. And right now, a lot of other parts are failing. So Mark D'Antonio said this week he's not going to publicly name a starter. We won't know who the starter is until the first snap is taken against Northwestern Saturday. I would not be surprised at all to see packages in there for O'Connor, for Damian Terry, even for Brian Lewerke, their third quarterback. I just think that right now a lot is broken with Michigan State's offense, and D'Antonio and the rest of that staff needs to do everything they can to try to find a fix.
Pizzo, will it matter? Does Northwestern stay hot? Do they roll in there? It's a 2:30 kickoff.
Yeah, I think it matters. I think it matters a lot. I mean, I think Northwestern found a little bit of offense against Iowa. I think the Michigan State still will force Clayton Thorson to try to beat them and not allow Justin Jackson to beat them. This is a very big game for both teams because for much different reasons than we thought a year ago. You know, a year ago, these teams were both steamrolling toward multiple wins, double-digit wins, 10 victories on the year, and big-time bowl games. Now, they're in a situation where this could become a critical team game for both teams just to get back to the postseason, which is really hard to believe in the case of Michigan State.
Rick Pizzo's with us, Big Ten Buffet, Hail Varsity Radio. Rick, we got a couple, 3 minutes here. Some of us have dreamed to be on that mound at Wrigley. You have been able to go to the mound at Wrigley Field and throw out a ceremonial first pitch. How is your mind right now with your Cubbies set to go in action to try and close out the Giants?
Well, first of all, I got to get some more caffeine. I mean, I know, you know, it's 5:30 in the afternoon, but when you're up until, you know, 2 o'clock in the morning watching and then mourning a really tough loss, basically, I'm just praying for this sucker to end tonight, because that means that not only do the Cubs advance, but it means that you get to keep your rotation the way that you want it. You don't have to bring Lester back for a game five, and it's set up perfectly for the NLCS. But there will be some nervous moments. It does start an hour earlier tonight, which means I might actually get to bed before midnight. But yeah, there's going to be some fingernails being chewed off in the Pizzo household tonight.
So give me your greatest moment as a Cub fan.
Oh, without question. I got to throw out the first pitch for the last regular season game of the year 2 seasons ago against the Cardinals. I think I was like 11th on the depth chart, and they went through the president and vice president and worked their way down here at Big Ten Network.
It's okay.
But it was Big Ten Day, and I got to throw out the first pitch, and I'm very happy to say that I did not listen to the advice of everybody who told me to stand in front of the mound because I didn't want to bounce it. I said, no way in the world am I doing that. I've been invited to throw the first pitch. It's the only time I'm ever going to have the opportunity to do this. I'm going to stand on that same mound, on the mound that Greg Maddux and some of the greats have thrown from, and I threw a high strike. And that is my proudest moment. Forget about just being a Cubs fan. That's one of the greatest moments I've ever had in the history of my life.
So you went Mitch Wild Thing Williams is what you're telling me.
I'm not saying I went Mitch Wild. I might have brought it at like 62, 63. All I'm saying is it was over the play without a bounce.
You didn't go tucked in jeans look like Michael Wilbon, did you?
I did not have the tucked in jeans. Okay. I had what I like to consider a nice Cubs t-shirt untucked over a pair of jeans.
Okay, right. Okay. So, Pizzo, when I ask you your greatest moment, were you there at all ever in 98 during the home run chase, or were you there in that magical 03?
I followed it day by day, minute by minute, but had not yet relocated to Chicago, so was not in the situation to follow it at that juncture.
Okay. Rick Pizzo, Big Ten Buffet with us at BTN. Rick Pizzo, you follow him and you watch him on BTN Live. Rick will be watching this weekend. Thanks for your time, man. Always great to get caught up.
Schmitty, always great to talk with you guys, man. Go Cubs.
All right, appreciate it. There he is. There's a happy Cubs fan hoping and praying for a win tonight. You know what? And we'll get into some Cubs thoughts here on Game 4 tonight. We'll also get back to Nebraska football. Pizzo's just, I got to give Vogel some crap. Doing BTN Live? Good for him.
Mm-hmm.
Impressive.
Yeah, I saw him retweet his video, so you can view it on his Twitter.
I love that. Good for Vogues. He's a good dude. Very talented, obviously. But
yes.
Now, listen, there's like a ton of Cub moments I remember. And this comes down to parent and child negotiation. You've pulled it off or you're experiencing it as a parent of a sports fan and a little person, okay? And rarely, I mean, my dad's, he's not communist, but he should be. I mean, that's how the household was. What he said went. You didn't bring it up to him or negotiate at all. Like, yeah, I don't feel like mowing the yard. No, you're mowing the yard. You're mowing it for free. So I remember the 89 division title. They won in Montreal. And I'm sitting at the foot of their bed. It's 10:30. I'm 11, 12 years old, whatever I was. I'm like, hey, can I stay up and watch this? I don't have a TV in my room. You're not going to let me go watch in the living room. So we got to do it. And Harry Carey is going crazy. Cubs win the division. Cubs win the division. I mean, so I remember that. And I remember two guys. Back in the day, like, Cubs fans would just flock to Wrigley, obviously, from Lincoln and the state of Nebraska. But back in the day, you'd have Cubs players come to town for autograph shows. So Andre Dawson was at the student union back in 91. And Kenny Walker, the defensive tackle from Nebraska, hearing impaired, was just, he's the best. Love Kenny Walker. And they had Nebraska had a player there, and it was Kenny Walker and Mike Kroll. Kroll went like fourth overall or third overall in that draft, a great outside linebacker, rookie of the year. So you could get Kenny Walker, Mike Kroll, and then the same day you had Andre Dawson there. Someone brought Andre to, I don't know what company pulled this off, but all these years you're watching from like 87 on, once Andre got out of jail in Montreal, and Andre wasn't in jail, but playing in Montreal with his knees was like being in jail. So I remember watching him on WGN for all these Saturday afternoons or after school games. And then you finally get to meet the Hawk. It was impressive. Cubs thoughts tonight next.
Forget to catch any segment of the show?
Man, you are one pathetic loser.
Find the podcast of the show on HailVarsity.com or subscribe to the podcast on iTunes.
All right, all right, all right.
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Jay Bird will be back maybe tomorrow, maybe for sure Friday. Getting ready for Nebraska, Indiana. Thanks to Rick Pizzo. Good stuff from Rick. And quarterback run game, he's absolutely right. How healthy is Tommy's ankle going to be? I think he'll be okay. Now, how good's Farmer going to be, we'll know later today with practice report. But that's where Ohio State went at Indiana. Off the edge, zone read game off the edge, quarterback run game off the edge. And I didn't think I'd say this ever, but the way Tommy's been throwing the football, he might be a little bit more dangerous than Barrett. I mean, Barrett coming in is like Heisman contender, can do it all. He's great. And he is. But he looked like he was a mess trying to throw against Indiana. Never got in rhythm. Never got with it. Now, they had an early fumble on those stupid little touch passes. It's almost like a shot. It's like they're playing dodgeball in the backfield. Hey, let's quick pitch it to the face mask of our tailback, and it's a fumble. Stupid play call. But that's just me. Welcome back as Luke McNitt, Husker fullback, coming up. Rick Pizzo was with us, Mitch Sherman, Kevin Suits. In hour one, what remind you about Sauter Heyman? Go see Rick. Go see Rick now. 1 carat diamonds. Select 1 carat diamonds. Affordable for you. And she'll love it. $100 a month. And make time today to go see Sauter Heyman for a 1 carat diamond. Select 1 carat diamonds for that sweetheart of yours. $100 a month. Limited time offer with approved credit. 12th and O downtown. South Point Pavilion. In Lincoln or out west with your friends in Grand Island, yourbestring.com, SauterHeyman.com, 466-3776, 466-3776, 800-825-5865, and on Twitter at Hale Varsity, at Schmidt underscore radio, at TJ underscore Henning. The line, -3.5 right now. And then the Cubs get rocking tonight. You'll hear that here on many of our Hail Varsity affiliates through ESPN Radio. Level with me. Are you more nervous as a Nebraska fan for Saturday or as a Cub fan closing out San Francisco? Big week of sports for you. Can Nebraska get to 6-0? Can Nebraska stay in the top 10? Can your Cubbies close out the hated Giants? And San Fran stabbed you before. I was reminiscing about when, you know, Cub players would come to Lincoln. Told you about Andre Dawson. Best dude in the world. Nice to my little brother. My little brother's scary looking, or at least was when he was 5. That's a older brother joke. And he was so nice and sweet. I mean, you know, my brother looked like a zoo animal, but Andre still signed the baseball. Mark Grace rolls to town. And Mark Grace. And I loved watching Grace. Best swing ever. And I'm happy he won it with Arizona. I'm sorry things have gone like south for him personally. But Mark Grace was the biggest a-hole ever. He had a soft pack of Winston cigarettes. And I'm like, wow. I only thought players from the 1950s still smoked. Can I bum one? Kidding. So he's got a pack of Winstons. He's got a giant gold chain. He'd been clearly out all night. And he's signing autographs, and you bring up the name Sean Dunston, and he wants to put his cigarette out on you. Because he believes that cost him years. Or at least it was going to cost him years in baseball. Grace had 2,000 career hits. Could have made a push for 3. Career shortened because of hamstring issues. Why? Because the shot-o-meter, Sean Dunston, tried to be a pitcher from short to first. You remember watching it on WGN. He'd throw 90 miles per hour from short over to first. And part of the result of that was gold gloves galore for Mark Grace. But it jacked his hamstrings. So two different tales and stories of Cub fans coming in. So I hope Chicago doesn't, okay? I hope they get it done. You got some nervous Cub fans tonight. Oh, here we go again. But let's be straight. You felt that way, too, as a Nebraska fan. You've been conditioned to wait for something bad to happen, and it hasn't yet. Then all you can do as a Nebraska fan, obviously you're tailgating and having a good time, but the team's been pretty good. And it kind of comes down to just you're better, you know you're better, put it together. And it's set up, man. This thing's so – Indiana's been building for this opportunity. If you're Nebraska, you're Nebraska. Go win this game. Go beat this team. And I'll be interested to see as the week goes on here. I mean, Coach Banker will talk tomorrow night. You don't want to give away, you know, what you're holding here card-wise. But you need to really think about lighting this dude up. I mean, bring the heat. Bring pressure. Come after Lego. And I'm not saying it wrong. I want to go Lego my ego, but I can't. Devine Redding's really good. Can Nebraska's defense play with a chip on their shoulder on the line? And it comes down to confidence. Nebraska's a confident football team. They're feeling good. They need to get healthy. And then you have two measuring stick type opponents. Oregon early, Indiana now. Okay? And by season's end, it'll be interesting to see if Indiana's 7-5, 5-7, whatever. Mm. They're talented enough to be a 7-8 win football team. And they've gone through a pretty difficult schedule. So you beat Indiana on the road. Look, they played Ohio State tough. They beat Michigan State. Wake Forest is decent. We'll see what they do against Florida State this weekend. So you have some measurement. Oregon's a total, total disaster. And if you're Nebraska, take some credit for that. You beat them up. You injured them. You beat them. And you beat them in a close game. And their confidence, their psyche, cracked and damaged. And it's gotten worse. I mean, they've been unloaded upon. But you were the first to kind of start that trend of, hey, let's go duck hunting. So Oregon's not what they were, but Nebraska has something to do with that. Indiana, meanwhile, much better than you thought. Now, at the beginning of the year, TJ, yay or nay, you had this game circled as, oh, crap. I had it circled as, oh, crap.
I don't think I did, but I know
I had
you
this
and
circled. I had
Jay
Northwestern.
Did.
I had Oregon. So far, you're 2-0 in the oh, crap games.
I think I had the Illinois one.
Okay. Yeah, I couldn't quite pull the trigger on that. Mm-hmm. I would like to retract my statement about Illinois will beat somebody they shouldn't after losing to Purdue with a better quarterback that's actually mobile named Crouch. That brought back memories. Mm-hmm. Listen, are you more nervous as a Cub fan this week or a Nebraska fan?
So
you have two cracks at it if you're a Cub fan, but if it goes back to Wrigley and they don't win it, they blow a 2-0 lead.
Yeah.
I mean, you're gonna be dragging the bottom of Lake Michigan for bodies.
For more
like
nervousness,
Dexter just visited.
It would be the Cubs for me because of the theory of anything that can go wrong will go wrong. Cubs fans have seen that plenty of times.
But I think there's a lot of Cub fans that are, first of all, they prepared themselves for the worst. You do every year.
Mm-hmm.
And their go-to is wait till next year.
Oh, for sure.
Okay? It's been tattooed and ingrained.
But you also want it badly because you haven't had it in forever. So the anxiousness, the nervousness is going to be there. And also because it's an even year. And we've seen what the San Francisco Giants did in 2010, 2012, 2014. They won the Major League Baseball Championship. And then it's 2016. You're facing the Cubs first round. So I definitely think they'd be more nervous than Husker fans. I don't think many Husker fans predicted the team to go 12-0. So this is a regular season game coming up. And just one loss, I think the Cubs fans would be more nervous.
Yeah, by now, a lot of Nebraska fans just didn't think Nebraska would be unbeaten. They didn't think Nebraska would be 10th or 9th or whatever poll you're going with. But you're here, okay? You're here. Do something with it, is my point. Get a solid road win. Get a little bit of relief if things don't go well in Madison. Get a little bit of relief if things go awful against Ohio State. I believe this wholeheartedly. You lose 3 of 4 if you don't win Saturday. You're injured. It ain't going your way. You can just kind of take it out and kick the dog. Don't do it because don't abuse animals. But that's what I kind of think of Purdue. You can come back home and take out the anger if you don't win Saturday. You got to turn right back around. And again, from a cred and credibility standpoint, you're Nebraska. You're new to the party, but you're in the party. So show you belong. Nate's with us on line one. Nate, thanks for hanging. Go ahead.
Chris, what's up, buddy?
Not much. What do you know?
Man, I was telling J-Bone last night, I was worried we have to change the tampon, make sure you was okay, bro. Everything cool?
I'm good. What's up?
Oh, you know, I was just listening to you. You know, I say, okay, so to me, Cubs fan, I have been a tortured Cubs fan for all 35 years of my life. This is the first year where we can actually expect it and be right in expecting it. And I throw the curse and the other series away. I mean, we have the top two MVP candidates are on the same roster. Like I told Jay last night, I think Jeter, A-Rod was the last time that happened, maybe, and I don't even know if they did it the same year. You know, you have the legit Cy Young Award winner that's going to be coming out here. You might have a second Cy Young candidate out of the group. So at the end of the day, no, my expectations for the Cubs are way higher. Nebraska's not supposed to be here. We've already exceeded the number of wins we had last year, you know, with one more. So to me, no matter what Riley does moving forward, it's actually progress technically from last year. So how pissed could we be?
Okay.
Maybe I'm being too rational. I know I'm not known for my rationality.
But you just told me a week ago that Wisconsin isn't the boogeyman too. I mean,
and I don't think about Wisconsin. I'm not worried about Wisconsin. I swear to you, I'm not. They're the
wow.
most one-dimensional team ever. I'm not.
So what do you think Saturday then about Nebraska?
A healthy Nebraska team wins by two touchdowns. I think, given the experience factor and the fact that Riley is a more seasoned coach, I'll take us by three. I think we cover. We are inherently a better team, and we should be able to simply out-talent them overall. But there are spots, there are matchups, they are better. They are.
There are some matchups that are absolutely better. Nate, thanks for the call, brother.
Yeah,
we're up against it.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
I'm glad you're feeling better, bro.
Me too. Thanks a lot. All right. Appreciate Nate there. Okay, so there's Cub fan that says, no, we're built to be great this year. They expect it. Wow. Nebraska, you're ahead of schedule, so just enjoy it. It's pretty much his take. I think Nebraska is more talented. You should go and find a way to win. A Husker fullback, Luke McNitt, up next on Hail Varsity.
Subscribe to Hail Varsity Magazine. Call 1-855-3-HUSKER or go to hailvarsity.com/subscribe.
That's amazing! That's amazing! That's amazing! That's amazing!
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Back with Hail Varsity Radio, we get caught up with fullback Luke McNitt as Nebraska off to Indiana. So it's pretty rare, at least the last couple of years, to have a breather this soon in the year. How'd the bye week go? How'd you spend it?
We had about three practices here in Lincoln before they let us off. You know, we were looking for, just working on situational football and then getting an early look at Indiana. And then I was able to go home for the weekend, watch some football, and hang out at home.
Pretty rare to be able to watch football instead of play it.
Yeah, I mean, on Saturdays when we're playing, you know, you might catch glimpses of games in between walkthroughs, but it was nice to sit down and watch like 8 hours of football for once. There's a lot of good games on. It's pretty fun.
So who did you watch? Did you start it off? You have the triple header usually, right? The 11, the 2:30, the 6. Who did you scout?
I started off 11 o'clock. I watched Iowa, Minnesota. 2:30, who was that? Oh, I watched Indiana, Ohio State, obviously. Watched both those teams. And then switching off with that in the Texas A&M, Tennessee game. That was a great game. And then night, I was mostly focused on that Florida State Miami game.
That was crazy. Blocked extra point, right?
Block at the Rock or whatever they called it. But I don't know about that name.
Luke McNitt's with us. So in prep for Indiana, you had three practices, you said. How did those practices go? And obviously you're it's not film. You're watching the live broadcast. But what are your impressions of Indiana? What impresses you about them?
I think their offense is for real. I mean, people have been saying that going in. But their defense as well, I mean, they're just as good. They're improving every single year in the Big Ten that I've seen. And, you know, that strength starts up front with our defensive line, and their linebackers, I think, is their strongest unit. But they got some great safeties and corners as well. I mean, you think Indiana football. I mean, you think Indiana, usually think about basketball, but they're definitely quickly becoming a football school.
they've scored on just about everybody, and they pushed Ohio State, and with the offense, I mean, the way you guys have been able to run the football on about everybody, the way you've been able to control the clock, is that formula kind of the constant moving forward, or is there something you'll do different? And again, you'll get more into it this week, but how do you go against that defense? What's the best method to do so?
I would definitely say just keep doing what we've been doing. You know, that we have a winning formula. We've proven that so far. We want to establish the run, you know, pound the rock, and then take our shots when we can in the air. But I think you don't want to change up too much what we've been doing. And, you know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. So we'll just keep doing what we're doing.
Tell me your story. You're from Kearney, and how did you end up at Nebraska?
I started off, you know, wanting to play quarterback out of high school, so I went to UNK, and then you know, I was unhappy being from Kearney, living in Kearney, going to school in Kearney. So I thought I could play at a higher level. So I decided, you know, to transfer out and open up my, basically like a second recruiting process. You know, my coach, Brandon Cool from Kearney High, he helped me out a lot in my second recruiting. Opening up all those schools that I was talking to before, chance to come here and walk on here, just kind of turning that down.
So with the switch from quarterback to fullback, how has that gone? I mean, it's you can run like a fullback as a quarterback, but it looks like you've spent plenty of time in the weight room to become a fullback.
Yeah, I definitely, you know, put on a few pounds, you know, gotten stronger, worked on my speed, you know, lead blocking technique. A lot of that's just technique, you know, something I've never really done before. You know, you have the attitude that you want to do it. Now it's just, you know, you have to learn technique from the coaches and everything.
What do you love about being a fullback?
I would say just the chance, you know, to come downhill and meet somebody in the hole. That's pretty fun. But, you know, you can, in this offense, you can be versatile. You know, you can carry the ball. You can catch passes out in the flat. I mean, they expect a lot out of you. So I definitely like the fact that, I mean, they know I can catch passes. They know I could carry the ball, and I can lead block as well.
Every time you watch either the NFL or teams that go pro style, it never fails. They do play action out of the eye, or they roll, and guess who's open in the flat to go smash somebody, the fullback. How come fullbacks are forgotten about on play action?
I wouldn't necessarily, you know,
from a defensive standpoint.
Yeah, say for, I don't, you kind of get lost in the mix coming out of the backfield. You know, they're so focused on all those threats on the outside, you know, focused on the play action. You can either like sway across the formation and slip out the back end, or, you know, you kind of just get lost and guys will be sagging off the flat, and then you're open, and then, you know, you can make plays from there.
Luke McNitt, a couple more minutes with us here on Hail Varsity Radio. With the fullbacks here at Nebraska, kind of a return to maybe more usage, what were you able to kind of pick up and soak in from Jano?
There's definitely a lot I was able to pick up from him. Before he left for Denver, you know, before the draft, we would work out together. When he was training for the combine, we would watch film together. You know, he had to expand his knowledge of the just football in general in preparation for, like, all those interviews with different teams. So we would watch film together. You know, I'd ask him about how to block a certain play or certain techniques. So we spent a lot of time together before he left for Denver.
What do you take most pride in with being a fullback?
I would say just, you know, the tradition of being from Nebraska. You know, a lot of times the fullbacks here are from Nebraska, you know, homegrown kids. A lot of them started as walk-ons, same as me. You know, being able to work your way up and, you know, finally start for a team like this, you know, it's pretty great.
With this team, as you head in, how's the mindset? Is there a pretty high comfort level? I mean, with just how the season's gone, you've won close games, you've dominated the fourth quarter, you're running the football. Not overconfident, but more so just you're in a good spot mentally, the team?
Yeah, I'd say we're in a really good spot. You know, we're hungry, but we're very confident. You know, we've been through tough games, been through adversity. I mean, turn the ball over and still able to win. You know, like that game against Northwestern, we turned the ball over twice inside the one-yard line. I mean, that's the kind of game last year could have been a lot closer or even a loss. Those are the type of games we lost last year, and being able to pull out wins in those type of games now, that's a lot of confidence for us. And I think, you know, there's not a situation we haven't seen in the last 2 years. Speaking for the offense specifically, you know, there's just a very, like, confident feeling, I think, going in each game.
Luke McNitt, fullback here on Hail Varsity. Lastly, who are some of the guys on the team that maybe step up and calm the storm if you have a couple of red zone turnovers like you were just talking about with Northwestern, or you get in a tight ball game heading into the fourth quarter like Illinois? Who are some of the leaders? Are you one of those guys that kind of steps forward, or are you part of the folks that deliver that message that says, you know, there's plenty of time left, it'll be okay?
Yeah, I think it's pretty, you know, everyone on the offense, you know, we like to tell each other, hey, man, there's plenty of time. Things go wrong. Things are always going to go wrong. It's not about what happens to you. It's how you react to it. So there's guys, you know, you can look at Tommy. He didn't really say much, but with his play and the way he acts out on the field, he's always calm in the huddle, always making plays. So you can always count on guys like that. And then you got the guys on the offensive line that are always pumping you up. I mean, guys like Dylan Utter, guys like Nick Gates, they're always, you know, calm, collected, ready to go on to the next play.
You bump into Gates around the stadium, not game day, but he's smiling and happy, and then he goes to a necessary dark place when it comes to game day. Is that a fair statement?
Yeah, I would say that's a very fair statement. He's a goofy, nice guy off the field, but he's some sort of animal on the field, man. I don't even know how to describe it. That kid's a monster. I've never seen somebody switch it off from the sideline. I mean, he'll be his regular self on the sideline. Then it's once he gets in that huddle and the ball is snapped, he's a different man.
Luke, best of luck in Bloomington. Thanks for a few minutes.
Thanks for having me on.
Call 402-466-ESPN or text HAIL to 88474 with your message. Chat with us on Twitter at Schmidt_radio and JMoore44 and TJ_Henning.
Who wants to have some fun?
Now it's back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Quick way to say goodbye. Thanks for your time and tuning in. Thanks to Mitch Sherman, Kevin Suits, Rick Pizzo, Luke McNitt, fullback. Tomorrow on the program, Brad Edwards, Uncle Jerry, Coach DiNardo with us, and our favorite Viking, fresh off a start, Jeremiah Searles, going to be with us. Excited to talk to Jay. And I'm going to pitch this to him, where we'll go up and see a Vikings game. We aren't going to make him give us tickets. But we should deliver a pizza to him from our friends at Lazzari's. You think? Wouldn't that be kind of cool? I mean, they did it in the MASH. That's an old school reference, but they ordered ribs from Adam's Ribs in Chicago during the Korean War. Yeah, we need 7 quarts of barbecue. Won't need to do that. But I think we should do a delivery roadie to Searles. Some spicy chicken. Jeremiah Searles tomorrow. Brad Edwards, ESPN. Jerry DiNardo will join us. Okay, so we got to give what now, TJ? Four pair. NBA tickets tomorrow, 7 o'clock, PBA, Minnesota. TJ's Minnesota Timberwolves and the Denver Nuggets. 4 pairs. Should we just do caller 4 through 8? Turn your mic on and don't sign to me.
5 through 8.
5 through 8, says the math major. That's me, not you. Callers 5 through 8 now. Do it. You want to go to the NBA tomorrow night at PBA? Callers 5 through 8. 466-3776. 466-3776. Toll free 1-800-825. 5865, callers, 5 through 8, NBA goodness for you at PBA with Minnesota, with Denver, callers 5 through 8 right now. Talk to TJ, be nice to TJ, and you'll get to go for free to PBA. See some NBA, some rookies of the year, an up-and-coming team in Minnesota, and a team that, well, used to have Allen Iverson. It's many moons ago, but callers 5 through 8 right now. Busy one today, as we talked a lot in Nebraska, Indiana. We'll get back to that topic tomorrow. For Cub fans' sake, I hope they are, well, in the NLCS by tomorrow morning. Because if it goes to a Game 5 in Chicago, Tucker factor will be at 7,000%. It will be tight. It'll be extremely tight. Now, I'm happy for my buddy Schaefer, you know, Mike Schaefer. He was in Cleveland. He got to see his Indians do their thing. And if we get a Cleveland-Chicago World Series, since Boston is now out, we can make things happen. That'd be all right. I would watch that. But we'll see what happens. John Lackey, 21 career postseason starts. He is success. Going all the way back to Game 7 of the 0-2 World Series as a rookie with the Angels. And his stuff, very good. Four-seam fastball, slider, curve. You can hear the Cubs and baseball here tonight on ESPN.